Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Alex. So Alex, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, I am Alex Sen. I'm the founder and CEO at Skew Savvy and living in Austin. I'm from the Northeast, grew up in Vermont, and so just trying to brave the heat down here and survive into fall.
Yeah, I mean, I'm originally from Chicago and I live in Dallas, so I totally understand that. So in terms of Skew Savvy, can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly it is and how you got the idea for it?
Yeah, I think to best understand Skew Savvy would be to go back in time and just kind of give you a little bit of the origin story and how we got to where we are. You know, Skew Savvy is it's a full warehouse management system built primarily right now for modern, fast-moving, direct-to-consumer brands. We started off the journey originally just on the agency side and operations and operators. We had built a couple of e-commerce sites and we're operating our own site. And along the process of building several hundred different e-commerce sites, had run into and had built a few inventory applications for specific needs. And what we discovered is that a lot of the brands that had come to us to build their site or to do various inventory applications were running into the problem of finding a suitable inventory warehouse management system. It's one of these things that you really wouldn't think about because there is a lot of inventory systems out there. There's a lot of warehouse management systems, et cetera. But when you start to pare this down and you look at what is actually available for fast-moving direct-to-consumer brands, there's actually limited options. And so what we saw is that, you know, on one end, you have these large scale systems. You've got the NetSuites, the Oracles, the Microsofts, the, you know, those big time systems, ERPs, we'll say. On the lower end, you have ShipStation, you have a variety of, you know, Shippos and other small scale systems that do one part or another, but they don't do a lot of it. They don't combine and do everything that a brand would really need. And so where we found the opportunity was in the middle ground. And so we actually partnered up with a few of our existing agency clients who were coming to us saying, hey, what should we use? We went through the process of trying to find something and inevitably didn't come across a suitable solution that we were willing to recommend, even though inevitably we had to. Basically, what we did is we said, hey, why don't we partner up? You know, you provide the feedback, we'll build the product and we'll launch. And so we were fortunate enough to have a few clients, you know, between 15 and 50 million or so in annual revenue who were willing to give us their feedback and really point out and say, okay, this is what we're looking for. This is how it should, how it should perform. Here's the actions that we need to take. And so we set out building that. And through doing that, we have what is now today Skew Savvy as a full warehouse management system. And we built it in such a way that it's a visual warehouse management system. So you get a 3D model of your warehouse, and this is used throughout a variety of different processes, right? So viewing where your inventory is, it now shows up on a map and highlights the bin positions that that inventory is within. When you're going into the warehouse, when you think about a high volume merchant, they're doing potentially thousands of orders in a single day. And when you've got high turnover in the warehouse, it makes it hard to figure out where exactly that product is, where you need to go to pick stuff. And so we worked with these brands to incorporate some of these things and make now a modern, scalable, mobile, visual warehouse management system. And so that's kind of the short but long-winded story of how we got to where we are and why we saw the opportunity in the market. So it was something that kind of called to us rather than us, you know, building something and then hoping that we would find an audience for it. It was really there and available.
Makes sense. So does your platform integrate with Shopify or what does that look like?
Yeah, we made the strategic decision, I suppose, to go specifically for Shopify. You know, there's a very big audience there. They've got a very open app store with a lot of different applications and generally saw a good opportunity to work with those brands. On the agency side, before that, we had worked primarily with Shopify brands. And so it just made sense coming from what we knew. My co-founder and CTO, very smart guy, and understood also the Shopify, you know, APIs and development frameworks, because he had also worked in the agency world. And yeah, it made a lot of sense to go through down that one single channel, as opposed to trying to cover all of them, but not do any particular one really great.
So what is the pricing structure? Does it depend on how many products, or what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so our pricing is pretty straightforward. We base it just on order volume, which is a little bit different than how the majority of the warehouse management or inventory management systems are priced. You can have unlimited warehouses, unlimited employees, unlimited, you know, orders, and everything is unlimited, right? No limits on SKUs, et cetera. And what you're charged based on, you get 50 orders for free every single month. And then after that, it is a stepped tiered model. So it goes from 19 cents down to 4 cents, again, just depending on how many orders are actually coming through the system in a given month.
So you're paying between 4 to 19 cents per order per month, depending on order volume for that month.
Yep, exactly. So for instance, at 5,000 orders per month, you'd be paying $7.60.
In terms of getting installed, do you charge like an installation fee, or what does that look like for you?
We are a SaaS native company. So you could, you know, you today could go in to our website, sign up for an account, connect your Shopify, and follow the docs and guides and, you know, just get started, right? There's no upfront fee from that perspective. Oftentimes our clients, you know, if they either have lots of complex data or they're trying to really utilize the system in potentially a slightly different way than we normally would provide, we will help with an implementation on occasion, or building in some sort of custom feature. We don't do that a lot, but if the need is there, we can certainly do that. And then of course we do have support plans for if you need a little bit more hands-on support, or really just being able to dive into your account. But yeah, we wanted to build it in such a way that you could just out of the box come in, sign up, create your account, connect to Shopify, and get started. And so a lot of, you know, probably 80% or more of the brands that we work with go down this route, and they'll set up them, you know, their own account, connect in, and can start going. You know, it's a big system. There's a lot within there to get used to and to kind of pull together. But you know, we like to think that we've done a good job of trying to keep the system simple, but have a lot of functionality so that someone can come in and get started without having to do, or without having to have an implementation, or without having to have too many meetings with our team.
That's awesome. So as of right now, how many customers do you have?
We have just crossed over about 1,200 brands that we work with. And this is growing pretty rapidly. You know, we are, I think it took about the first year of just building the product, and then the next 2 or so years that we were actually in market, just kind of getting the recognition. We're still actually not even in the app, the Shopify app marketplace. So this is all just organic inbound, you know, companies that are seeing that what we saw, which is that there isn't a lot of great solutions. And, you know, we have put something into the market that I think has a lot of really valuable features and benefits to the companies that we work with. And yeah, so I think that's what's catching on. And now more and more of our clients are helping to spread the word to others, and yeah, kind of picking up steam on that front.
Cool. So as of now, so you're saying it's really all organic inbound, over 1,200 customers, and that's really awesome. So is it mostly on Twitter or LinkedIn, or where have most of your customers come from?
You know, most of the customers find us either through just a search, right? Google search. We're usually in all the right places that we need to be there. And then, of course, the Shopify community forums, various Slack communities that we're part of. And then, yeah, you know, on YouTube actually has been a decent source for us as well. And then, of course, you know, just our own existing clients that have started to share with, you know, their other counterparts in the industry.
So when it comes to YouTube, what kind of content are you usually putting out?
Well, our YouTube channel is still pretty small, but we are, you know, ramping that up. And a lot of our content is centered around either A, how to effectively manage your inventory with Shopify, right? And using the Shopify platform effectively, kind of, again, focusing on the inventory management side of things and warehouse management side. And the other, you know, the majority of our content is centered around how to leverage SKU Savvy with your Shopify account and really how to use the product, how to get up and running and how to perform certain actions within there. And it kind of goes back to the earlier point about, you know, how these companies been able to get set up with SKU Savvy without even, you know, having to contact us. Oftentimes it's because they're either using a combination of the YouTube videos and some of our docs and guides, but you know, that certainly has been powerful. YouTube is a great avenue, and we certainly intend to leverage that even more in the future.
So in terms of the future, what does that look like for you? Like, what is the bigger vision for SKU Savvy in terms of scalability? Are you planning on adding on more features? Like, what does it look like in terms of scaling for you?
Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting. The start was just about getting the base, right? Getting enough there that someone could find in and really start to see value. We have a lot of the base there. There are still some things that we plan to introduce to, I guess, compete on a broader spectrum with some of the bigger competitors that are out there. But, you know, really, we intend to be a one-stop shop from the manufacturer all the way right down to the end consumer. And so you could imagine this scenario where they actually replace EDI, electronic data interchange, which is how a lot of the retailers start to communicate their orders, but actually just replacing that and just going straight to the source, so that as a brand, I go to SKU Savvy to manage my inventory, my warehouse, to allocate inventory and do the order fulfillment. But also, if my manufacturer is connected, I can now have the system, SKU Savvy, initiate the purchase directly from my manufacturer based around my order volume and where those set points are for my, you know, kind of par values of inventory. And so you could see this fully connected warehouse network with the suppliers that are all fully connected into one ecosystem, and just makes it much more efficient to order and have all of that happen right within one. You know, additionally, the payments and being able to have inventory going from, let's say, you know, over in Asia somewhere and getting onto the shores here, we're in the US. So you can imagine that process gets a little bit complex. And so we envision a fully connected warehouse network that will be able to do this, you know, more or less autonomously, where you've got this interconnected network. Additionally, you know, one avenue that we have yet to go down, but is certainly there, would be the robotics aspect, right? Being able to have a warehouse that when your truck arrives, you know, the system tells robot A to go to that truck bay and start offloading that onto a, you know, a conveyance, or maybe just directly taking the inventory and moving it into the final bin position. We're in a unique position where we've got a visual map of the warehouse, and you could see that this might be able to interface with robotics who, you know, that are using computer vision to know exactly where that bin position is, and being able to use the system input to get the product, move it into a bin, and store it. And so that's really, you know, the two big avenues that we, I think, would like to move into over time. But again, right now we're growing fast enough that we just need to focus on making sure that we support the clients that are there and what their primary use case are. But I think as the technology advances and robotics become more cheap, I shouldn't say cheap, but less expensive, then there will be other opportunities to connect the system with either drones or automated ground vehicles or a variety of different robotics on that front.
What is the biggest challenge that you're facing right now when it comes to reaching this goal of, you know, adding more features? Even like right now, you mentioned that your biggest focus is supporting your current customers, you know, with, like, as you're scaling quickly. So what does that look like for you in terms of, you know, like addressing, you know, some of these challenges?
Yeah, I think, you know, some of the biggest challenges are in relation to the complexities of the warehouse. You know, you think about logistics, and some people may understand that it is very complex. Others you look at it and say, oh, well, what do you mean? It's just product in, product out. When you start to get down the rabbit hole, there's a lot of intricacies. There's a lot of small things. Different products require different workflows. Different companies are dealing with suppliers who are also dealing, you know, they have their own set of requirements, and being able to accept product into the warehouse, efficiently navigate, you know, the storage of goods, so that it's in a position where when you go to pick those goods, they actually be, you know, it becomes efficient to grab them. So it's really the long tail, I guess we'll say, of circumstances that do come up. It's tackling all of those different long tails so that someone coming into the platform on SKU Savvy can, you know, be able to match what they're trying to do. So a lot, that long tail is pretty complex, and trying to, again, like while managing that long tail, keep things simple enough so that the smaller merchant who's, you know, maybe they're doing 1,000 orders a month, so they can still leverage the platform to their, you know, fullest capability. And then being able to match that with, you know, the brand who's doing 50,000 orders a month, you know, those two things kind of collide a little bit. And so we're balancing the complexities that this type of system does have with the, you know, requirements and need that some of the larger brands do have for some of those long tail situations.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, I was in supply chain consulting before I started this company, and I think,
Awesome.
So I understand the industry very well. I mean, people don't realize all these complexities that you're talking about. You have to deal with temperature controls of certain products, and you have to deal with products coming in from overseas and tariffs and dealing with all, I mean, there's so much complexity that goes on in supply chain. And as you said, every industry is so different, you know, and every type of product is different. And it's important to be able to serve those customers in the best possible way. And I love that you're able to, you know, really focus on that as you guys are scaling.
Yeah, you know, we do our best. There are times where we just realize, you know, this is not going to be the right fit. And again, we're very focused on Shopify. So if that brand or if that merchant isn't on the Shopify ecosystem as of right now, it's probably not the right fit for us. Although we do have a number of brands who are using it independently, or they're, you know, using the API to make those connections, which is totally fine. We certainly encourage it. But yeah, managing that that complexity, but keeping the product simple, is a big task for sure.
So how do you manage that when it comes to customer service? I'm sure, I mean, even though you have tons of content, you probably have lots of existing customers or potential customers reaching you or reaching your company all the time, right? Especially when you have people that are asking product specific questions about temperature control or, you know, integration. Maybe they have a custom solution. Like, you know, is it mostly via email? Or like, what do these conversations look like?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times a company will come in, they'll sign up for an account, they'll start, you know, messing around, setting things up, and inevitably they come across and they're like, hey, well, what about, you know, XYZ thing? And XYZ thing is, again, usually one of these long tail items. I guess the way that we look at it is, if someone comes to us and says, hey, you know, what about, you know, can we make this happen from your bins, right? And it's like, okay, can we assemble a new product or kit based on around the bins or something complex like that, right? That not a lot of people have asked for. We'll mark it down so that it's there. We don't typically take action on, you know, building something out unless it's been a recurring theme. Right. So if, you know, over the course of a month, if we're having, you know, new companies come in and they're sending over an email or they're reaching out to our sales or whatever, saying, hey, you know, what about this thing? And then the next company comes in, hey, what about this thing? Hey, what about this thing? You know, if we start hearing a pattern and seeing that, okay, yeah, that thing needs to be dealt with, then it's more likely that, okay, we say, yeah, this is going to serve a wider segment of our customer base, and probably we should deal with that. Yeah, so almost all of our product advancement comes directly from our customers, right? You know, we're not sitting there saying, hey, well, what about this? We should just build this thing because. No, it's typically almost always because our clients have said, you know, we need this thing. We've heard it. We've over and over and over again, people are coming to us with it. And that's what, you know, really dictates it, whether we're going to build it or not.
No, 100%. Yeah. I mean, we're the same way. I think, you know, no one's going to know more what they want than your customer. I mean, they're going to tell you exactly, yep, hey, I'm looking for this or I'm looking for that. So in terms of customer service or just in general, do you see use cases for AI when it comes to your business? Like, for example, high-level AI chatbots communicating with existing or potential customers, guiding them, answering these questions. Like, have you looked into these types of integrations?
Yeah, actually, we just recently introduced our own tailored AI chatbot. And so we're pretty excited about that. You know, it's I think actually it was surprising how good it was, to be honest, right? It was one of these things where we took all of our docs and some of the transcripts from our YouTube videos and the website contents and, you know, various other sources, plugged it in, and actually trying it out, it was like, well, that's, you know, that's pretty accurate. Yeah, that's a good answer. And then we introduced the ability to have links within that. So from that perspective, certainly on the support side, absolutely. It's, you know, I think there's a big avenue there. We have yet to really go down the AI, I guess we'll say incorporating an AI layer into the product itself. I think certainly at a certain, you know, at the point that it makes sense, we will. You know, we've been much more focused, I think, on the core components of the platform and making sure that, you know, our client base can really thrive with the product as is. I think there exists a lot of really great use cases. You know, being able to say, hey, for this product category, set my min and max par values for inventory levels at, you know, X and Y, and set those across the category. And then generate purchase orders when those get below that certain point, right? Like things like that. I love the way that Shopify has done it so far. They haven't really fully rolled this out, but I think they have taken a really good approach to, you know, using AI as a helper, not necessarily the full frontal, you know, that it's just going to start doing stuff within the system. It's more as a tool for someone to come in and lower their own workload, but still getting a lot done, right? I think it's an extension of you as the person, as the user on the system, to be able to maximize the amount of time and lower the number of actions that you have to take to get a specific outcome, right? Like if you're talking about tens of thousands of SKUs, it gets really cumbersome to do some, you know, large scale actions. And so we're looking at AI to potentially help automate some of that. Another area might be setting up the warehouse layout. You know, we have a visual builder. So you come in and you build your own 3D layout of the warehouse. Now we've got a bunch of tools in there to make that pretty seamless, to make, you know, bulk actions. But let's see a situation where you say, okay, AI bot, you know, I want a warehouse layout. It's going to be 100 feet by 80 feet, and it's going to have, you know, 10 racks that are 10, you know, 8 feet long. They're going to be 4 foot deep. And on each one of those racks, it's going to have 10 levels, and there's going to be 6 bins on each of those levels. And the AI bot just goes, you know, and it's done. So yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity there. We certainly see the opportunities, have yet to fully introduce them. I think we'll see how Shopify Sidekick kind of rolls out, what that really starts to look like. But so far, you know, very excited about that. I think it will do a lot of good things.
No, yeah, and I definitely love what you're building, being in the space, and we're rooting for you. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or just best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, definitely. So I would go to SKU Savvy, that's SKUSavvy.com. And there you can sign up for a free account. And also, if you wanted to find us on YouTube, you can just search youtube.com/@SKU Savvy, or just search SKU Savvy on the channel. You get a, you know, glimpse of what the system actually looks like. Of course, we can be found on all the socials. We don't have a huge social following because it's not a huge part of our where we're finding clients so far. But yeah, you can also find me on Twitter at Center10 or on X now. And so yeah, I think any one of those sources would be a good place to start.
Awesome. Well, Alex, thank you so much for your time. And yeah, thanks again. We're rooting for you guys.
Absolutely, Dan. Yeah, I appreciate you reaching out. And yeah, certainly looking forward to seeing this when it goes live.
That was great. Thanks, Alex.
Awesome. We'll see ya.
All right, bye.